This is DreamWords. Tom Corvin by Paul Storey. Chapter 51. Tom had no illusions that the reunion would be a happy one, but still, Katriana's fury shocked him. Exhausted and driven by mixed emotions, the boy's wind-blown tears became tears of rage. "We haven't got time for this," he yelled. When she'd first seen Tom stumbling towards her, the girl's voice sung with hope. She ran to him, ready to embrace, but stopped suddenly and looked beyond him to the hill. "Where are they?" "I'll explain later," Tom replied. "Where's your father?" He moved towards the cottage, its whitewashed walls brilliant against the night, but Katriana, black hair flying wildly, spun him on the spot, her eyes suddenly slits of anger. "Where is everyone, Tom?" Tom hesitated, torn between a need to explain and the torture of awful expectation. "There's no rescue, Katriana. We need to get out of here." Katriana's fingers locked on Tom's arm, nails digging deep through his sleeve, reminding him of the thorns he'd so recently escaped. He understood her anger, felt it to his core, and fought its destructive force. "My father, Silas, he's here. Do the police know about us? He's mad. The police, Tom, is help coming?" Tom shook himself free and grasped the girl by the shoulders. "Listen to me, Katriana. I tried to get help, but Silas, the man in the boat, he's here. He's on his way." Katriana pulled away, looking alternatively up the hill, out to sea, and back to the cottage, the night an unbroken wall of misery surrounding them.
"You're sick. There's no one."
Tom's fury needed a target. He struggled against his anger, tried to direct it to action. He turned and ran to the door, the girl on his heels, spinning him in fury as he fumbled the handle. Tom exploded. He pushed her hard.
"We've no time for this," he yelled.
Katriana staggered back and Tom's wretched emotion swung wildly so that he almost stopped what he was doing and went to her. Instead, as the girl fought her balance, Tom took the lamp and bolted into the cottage. On the surface, Callum's condition had hardly changed, but Tom could tell he was close to death, his breathing shallow, skin white, delirium gone. Katriana, suddenly there again, flew at Tom, striking his face hard with an open hand. He grabbed her, spun and pinned her arms, hugging her back to him. As she struggled, Tom fought the urge to hit her. He just wanted to help. He felt so guilty. Why was she doing this?
"I have something for him," he said through gritted teeth.
Katriana did not seem to hear, her head swinging left and right, her hair whipping his face.
"He's dying, Katriana. Your father's dying."
The girl seemed to deflate then. She sank to her knees, the hiss of the lamp like leaking air. Tom dropped with her.
"He can't die. He can't."
Together on the floor, Tom hugged her back, eased the pressure on her arms.
"You have to trust me. I can help him."
Motionless, she sat, streaked and glittering cheeks, moist, red-rimmed eyes turned towards her father. Tom left her on the floor and hurried to the kitchen. Moments later, he returned with a small pot of cold water and placed it on the table beside the bed. Catriona had moved to her father's side. She held his hand, tears flowing, shoulders shaking uncontrollably. She watched the boy with suspicion but said nothing. Tom removed the small vial from his pocket. He had no idea if the serum would work, how much to use, or if he would need multiple treatments. Careful to preserve every drop, the boy peeled the duvet to reveal Callum's bloated leg. He retched from the stench, a sweet mix of rotten meat and bananas. Gagging his revulsion, he unscrewed the top and dripped 1, 2, 3, 4 drops of liquid into the worst areas of the man's leg. Turning to Catriona, he said, "A knife. I need a knife." She stared at him as though he was speaking a foreign language, but then suddenly rose and went to the kitchen. Tom took the knife from her hands and turned his attention to the leg.
"My God!"
Catriona looked at the bubbling mass of pus spreading from the spots where Tom had dropped the serum. The effect was that of a corrosive acid and not a soothing balm.
"I know it looks bad, but I've seen it work."
He turned, noting her distress, delaying the moment he had to use the knife.
"I need a glass of water," he said.
"Cold." Catriona did as she was told, and as she left the room, Tom quickly dug the knife into the swollen bag of black and green fluid that was Callum's leg. He winced as a torrent of mush spurted over his face and flooded the bed. Fighting the vomit rising in his own stomach, Tom dripped a few more drops, this time into the wound he'd created. As he prized the putrid flesh apart with finger and thumb, two halves of bone crunched, one over the other, the cretipic sound somehow running through his own bones and landing on his teeth.
"What are you doing?"
Catriona stood at his side, her face twisted in horror. She grabbed the knife from the boy and swung her hand back to strike. Tom leapt to his feet, catching her wrist mid-stab. Without thinking, he twisted her arm, the weapon clunking to the floor. He held her fast, turning them both to look at her father. Still bubbling and cracking his flesh, there was now an unmistakable change in the appearance of the leg close to the places Tom had administered the first splashes of the serum. Catriona saw this too, and Tom felt the fight leave her. Much as he wanted to stay with her, to watch the miracle unfold, Tom had things to do. He placed the vial into the girl's hands, put 3 drops in the glass, and tried to get him to drink it. She nodded her head, eyes fixed on the macabre scene before her. Tom picked up the second lamp and moved to the hall. He threw open the cupboard under the stairs and ploughed through the pile of junk. By the time he'd chosen the crowbar, the hallway was littered with debris, pieces of wood, empty tins, a splattered cloth, a sledgehammer, and a jumble of rock-hard brushes lay unwanted at his back. He'd thought of using the hammer, but it was heavy, too unwieldy. He swung the crowbar, getting the sense of its weight, its potential for damage. Satisfied, he clambered over the scrap heap and entered the room he and Catriona had shared only yesterday. He did not know what he was looking for. They had to leave as soon as they could. There was no way they could carry Callum, and there was no boat to ferry him out. They would have to stay until he could walk, but broken bone was not torn flesh. Would it work? These thoughts plagued him as he searched for anything that might help them to get out of there alive. He was rummaging through a drawer of old keys and jigsaw bits when Catriona appeared at his back and closed the door quietly behind her. She was calmer now, but the urgency and despair were still there.
"I want to know what's going on, Tom."
Tom's instinct was to keep searching. They had to prepare for the worst, but his confidence in finding something he could use was fading fast. He turned to speak, and as the words formed in his mind, he caught his breath and froze. There, to Catriona's right, was Kathleen, her ghostly image bloodened, her dress torn, hair dishevelled, muddy. Tom's eyes were drawn to her neck, to the heart-shaped stone. His hand drifted to his pocket and he felt it there, solid and comforting.
"What's wrong, Tom?" said Catriona,
but her voice was drowned by Kathleen's anguished cry.
"Tom!"
she cried.
"Get out! Get out now before it's too late!"
And as she said it, the door exploded behind her and Silas took her place, his cruel smile as real as Catriona's blood as she lay sprawled on the floor. Chapter 52. Silas walked through the splintered door holding a sledgehammer. He stopped at Catriona's prostrate body, eyes wide, feet apart as though posing for a movie poster in hell. He stood erect, apparently fit, but his left cheek was ripped open, extending a strange, lopsided smile to his ear.
"You're clever, boy. Stupid. But clever."
Kathleen was gone, and Tom cradled the crowbar opposite the shattered door. The man seemed to vibrate, an overstressed machine about to blow. His neck, a bulbous trapezoid, sinuous, sloping struts visibly stressed, carotid pulse pacing a hate-filled heart.
"You found my little gift."
Tom stepped forward to look at Catriona and groaned inwardly at the red stain on her outstretched arm.
"Stop!"
Silas swung the hammer over his head in a lazy curve and held it suspended over the girl's face.
"She's alive, for now."
His cheek was hideous, and blood burbled from the gash as he spoke, as though moving his lips had just reopened a closing wound. Tom was surprised by this. Had the serum run its course? If the man had gashed himself in the accident, surely it would have healed by now. He stopped, noting the tension running up Silas's arms to the wooden shaft, shaking the hammer as though fed by 10,000 volts.
"Touch her, and I'll kill you," said Tom.
Silas's laugh was irrational.
"You've had many years to do that, boy, and I'm still here."
He looked from Tom to the girl.
"You've got a choice. I kill the girl, I then kill you."
That terrible, corrupt grin.
"Or you can help me."
"I'll help," said Tom.
"You never could get the hang of lying."
Tom imagined himself springing for Silas, mentally gauging the time to reach him against the deadly swing of the hammer.
"Drop the bar."
Tom did as he was told.
"Move to the far wall,"
he said.
"Good boy."
His voice was a mockery of praise.
"Spread your arms and lean forward. Feet out. Further."
Tom, his forehead touching the wall, his body angled like a badly placed ladder, was suddenly surprised to feel Silas's breath on his neck. He had crossed the room in complete silence.
"I owe you, boy," he whispered.
Something exploded in his kidneys as the handle of Silas's hammer slammed into his back. His legs folded, and everything turned to black as he crashed to the floor. Tom's feet were freezing. He was back in Silas's underground den, and what he saw when he awoke brought the full horror of their situation to him. A rush of unwanted memories burst in his head, dark, satanic visions created and destroyed, consumed by one another in an escalating race to capture his sanity. He sat in a chair, the chair, numb feet dipped in cold water, wrists and ankles strapped to rotten wood. Beside him, Catriona, her head slumped sideways, her hair, a threaded veil half covering her face, was perfectly still. Tom felt the harsh dig of metal on the back of his neck, and like a cup of honey in hell, Catriona's warm hand bound to his. Movement was difficult under the strap binding his forehead, but there was no power running to the connection, and by straining every muscle in his neck and eyes, he watched the girl for signs of life and saw their hands clasped and bound with black tape. He squeezed, gently at first, and then tighter, but sensed no reaction. It was obvious, however, by the soft warmth flowing between them that the girl was still alive. A noise beyond the open archway drew Tom's attention to the main chamber. Silas was somewhere close. The cavern was lit by a single gas lamp that Tom guessed had come from the cottage. Its incandescent glow bounced around the walls, casting its light surprisingly well throughout. A fleeting, ill-defined shadow brushed the floor beyond the archway. How long before the man returned, Tom did not know, but he had to assume it'd be seconds and not minutes. He wasted little time trying to free himself, checking only briefly the security of his bonds. He strained to see Catriona, considered whispering her name, but it was obvious, even from this limited viewpoint, that she was out cold. Tom thought of Silas then, tried to figure his next move. He needed Tom. He'd always needed him. But Tom could not figure a way to leverage this fact. He could try, of course. Tell the man he'd get nothing from him if he didn't free the girl. But Tom knew it was an empty threat. While Silas had Catriona, Tom would do as he was told, just as he had as a creature of his childhood had tormented his mother. Tom did not notice the reversion to thinking of Kathleen as his mother. In all that mattered, that's exactly who she was. Tom understood that if he was to defeat Silas, he had to get inside the man's head. Inside his head. Just as he had back in the lab. He cast back to the moment Silas had shown him Tessa's anguish. Remembered too the link all those years ago in this very cave. He thought of the visions, the knowledge of future and past. And sensing Catriona's hand in his, he remembered the beauty by his side, as he'd shared a few loving memories with his family. Catriona had been there with him, in spirit at least, in the cottage, watching him dance with his mother, running alongside Tom and Tess on the beach, sharing his happiness inside his head. Unaware he was doing it, Tom cleared his mind. The world faded away, and another part of him floated free, looking down at the couple locked together in helpless captivity. Tom looked at their hands, felt the bond, saw her life in his grip and drifted down again, drawn to her. This part of Tom closed his fingers around the girl's and joined with her in a way that seemed as natural to the boy as breathing. Unknown to Silas, he succeeded in opening Tom to his real self to a greater extent than either of them had realized. Tom took his mind to the top of a mountain. He recognized its jagged peak, the loch and sea at its feet, and he knew its name, Corvin. He whispered the girl's name, Catriona. The girl, as Tom knew she would, appeared at his side. She looked at him with dreamy, dark eyes and drew close. Tom opened his arms and enfolded her. The beauty of their surroundings matched only by that of the moment. Tom looked at Catriona, her hair once again shining black, her clothing clean, her skin perfect, her eyes untroubled. He held her and she him. Tom realized that Catriona thought the dream was hers alone. He kept her close, felt the softness of her, the peace of ignorant sleep. He drank her presence and prepared to tell her what she needed to know, to bring her back to the hell she'd only just escaped.
DreamWorks.com.